I'm happy now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Russell Baker. He's executive director of the National Dance Institute here in New Mexico. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So you are having, among other things, a big performance this weekend, Friday through Sunday, called Winter Dance Escape. And we will talk about that in a moment. But I wanted to just kind of allow people the chance to catch up with NDI, National Dance Institute, and see what you guys have been up to and what you're doing now. It's your 20th anniversary here.
Yeah, it's a big year for us, the 20th anniversary of statewide programs in New Mexico. We have outreach programs in public elementary schools, but also extensive programming after school on the weekend and in the summers. We're spending part of our 20th year not only putting on special performances and great performances, which we're always trying to have a fantastic show, but to celebrate some of the impact that we've had over the last 20 years. When we look back in that time, about 75,000 students have participated in the NDI program across
the
state.
That's a lot of students.
That's a lot of kids, yeah. This year we're working
in a small state.
It is. It really is. This year we're working with 8,000 students around New Mexico, and we have large programs in Santa Fe, Española, and Albuquerque, but we also do programs in rural communities around the state. We go to 20 different little towns, Native American pueblos, from Raton to Silver City, from Artesia to Shiprock. That's a lot of kids in 1 year, and they're all getting this sort of basic program that uses dance and music and the arts to inspire kids to be their best.
Now, you're going to a lot of places in the state that have really intense cultural traditions, including some dance traditions. Do you kind of work with that, or are you bringing something else in?
Sometimes we, whenever we do a program in public schools or after school, it always has a culminating performance or some type of event with it. And we oftentimes write our own scripts and shows. We might tie them closely to curriculum that supports what kids are learning in school, like science or reading. Sometimes we just pick something that we think is just inspiring musical genre, like Motown or jazz. And then within that script, we might take something that will tie even more closely to the culture and the tradition of New Mexico or the communities. For instance, we did a show in Albuquerque when we were opening the Highland Theater, and the performance was about the movies. So Highland was an old movie theater, and then we did sort of a little history of the town and that part of Albuquerque and what happened before there with sort of raising sheep and the train coming in. And we can do that sometimes with other music and other forms of dance.
So what ages are you serving?
Our primary program, when we go into elementary schools, works with fourth graders. We also work with third, really third through fifth is what we can do with that program. And that's where most of the children that we serve are in that age group. But then we've developed programs so kids can stay with NDI beyond that initial year that they have at their elementary school. They can progress on Saturdays through the SWAT team and celebration team. That's through the ninth grade.
The SWAT team?
SWAT is the super wonderful advanced team.
Yeah. Okay.
You got to have a cool name. That's one of the things.
And, right.
And the kids come across from across town, and they all rehearse together at the dance barns on Saturday mornings. And when we put the show together and bring all the schools together, then each school has representatives on SWAT. But then with the dance barns and the Highland Theater both, we've been able to expand programs in both directions, where we offer classes for kids 3 to 18. Kids can come in at the beginning level at any age, and then they can progress from there as high as our most advanced level or where their interest lies if they want to just come on a less frequent basis.
Do you find that a lot of kids are self-conscious about moving? Maybe people don't come from families or dance tradition kind of cultures?
Well, I think that one of the things that's kind of magical about the NDI program in public schools is that it meets kids right where they are. We have a live musician and a dance teacher together as a team working with students, and the music really is inspiring and gets kids wanting to move, and the atmosphere that we create about working as a team on the dance steps in a way that involves games and a lot of fun and humor gets kids really out of their shells quickly. And oftentimes teachers or principals or even parents say, I didn't really see this side of this young person before, and now they've got a huge smile on their face and they're moving around and their arms are over their head and they're flying across the room. And and that can be an important breakthrough for a young person if they're not really physically active or wanting to do that kind of movement.
Do the teachers report that they're bringing that kind of attitude and happiness back to the classroom?
Oh, definitely. What teachers say in the classroom, they see kids more focused, that they see kids working together as a team, as a group. Principals say that they see the some ties to what we're doing in the NDI class, to the curriculum that they're trying to accomplish at school. And parents say that kids bring those messages about physical fitness and healthy eating and nutrition. We have a component of our program called Hip to Be Fit, that kids bring those messages home. And so when they're at the grocery store, they're at a restaurant, kids are asking for vegetables and fruit and water instead of some other snacks and sodas.
That's huge.
It's a big deal, and especially for New Mexico, where we have a population of students that are overweight and obese, and that's a sort of like, well, not just in our state, in our country, trying to get this message out to young people as a way to build a healthy lifestyle, that eating healthy and engaging in physical activity is important. And the NDI, the way we get into it really is, we're trying to get ready for our performance to be on stage. So for a young person, or a young performer, what does that mean? Well, that means you had to get a good night's sleep the night before. You need to eat a healthy, warm breakfast and drinking water. You're physically ready. You've built some core strength and some flexibility, that you've got endurance to get through the show. So those messages that are just naturally tied for us to be ready for a performance actually are the same things that any person should be doing in life.
And if you start building those habits when you're young, it's a lot easier, as probably many of us who have tried to change habits as adults know very well.
Exactly. I think it's really true.
We're talking to Russell Baker of National Dance Institute, New Mexico. So training for a performance is something that you know very well as a dancer, as a professional dancer yourself.
Yes.
And that's something that is, I think, for a lot of people, especially young people, really scary.
Well, it can be scary. I think if you haven't been on stage and you don't know what it's going to be like to be in front of everyone, sort of the idea of that can be, what do they call it? Stage fright.
Exactly.
But when we work with kids, that's one of the things from the very beginning we're talking about and getting ready for. From the outgo, from the very first class, we're getting ready for a performance, and what's that going to mean, and how can we build the confidence? Because I think that's one of the things, that's one of the biggest things that probably comes from participating in NDI programs, is that kids do build confidence, self-confidence. And what we do is we break down steps, we break down the idea of where we're trying to get to, so everybody really knows clearly. We call it excellence, really, is that we're trying to do each dance step and each dance phrase with excellence. So kids know what that is. And when we get there and we achieve it, then we celebrate that moment. It's a small, lots of small victories along the way. And we use those as building blocks to putting entire schools together, and then the whole show with hundreds of kids together. And when they get out there in that moment and their teacher is there helping them get ready, and the musician is helping them get ready, and the band comes together, and they feel this sense of support and community around what they're doing, that they see all the other kids that have learned the same steps and that are doing the same thing, that it sort of builds this power where after the final pose, when everyone has done that pose together, 500 kids all at once, that they feel with their own body this sense of, I was part of something that was excellent. and then and that they knew how they got there. That they got there by working hard. They got there by making some mistakes along the way. The teachers may help them get through the mistake, pointed out, okay, we messed up here, but we're not going to give up. We're going to keep working until we get it. When they finally get it, they know that they got it. They want to find that again. They want to find that feeling, and they can use that as a path to be successful in other things.
And it's also really quite moving to watch all those children on stage all kind of pumped up and filled with this life energy and doing the best they can. I mean, sometimes you've got the little clumsy chubby kid who's mm-hmm. just hitting it, and then you've got some incredibly talented kids. You're like, oh my God, this is so beautiful to watch. And there's a kind of democracy to that.
There definitely is. That's a great way to put it. Kids are really honest. You see right on their faces what they're experiencing and what they're feeling, and to see with that number of kids certainly from kids coming from public schools, there are all types, and that everyone comes together to focus on one thing, to make it as good as it can possibly be, and to do it in such a joyful way. I mean, you think about dance and cultures all around the world. What do they do when they're celebrating? They have their own, everyone has their own music and their own dance, and they get together and they do this joyful thing together.
So you've been at this, or National Dance Institute New Mexico has been at it here in New Mexico for 20 years. What kind of follow-up do you have with the students who were, let's say, in third grade 20 years ago? These are young adults now.
Well, I don't know that 20 years ago that we knew this is where we would be 20 years later. We definitely reach out to community and people that we are in touch with and try to stay in touch. And I would say over the last 10 years, we've tried to get a lot better about keeping in touch with students. And the Dance Barns have been around for about 10 years, and we've sort of started keeping emails and sending newsletters and doing even alumni events. And we try to encourage and invite students when they're either home for the holidays or during the summer, get together. We did a little party in December and had students of, well, they were not students anymore, they're young adults and sort of all ages, but came in, and we were meeting and greeting and reminiscing and hearing about where kids are now.
Did any of them become dancers?
Some of them have become dancers, actually. You know, one of our students just landed a show in a touring Broadway production, and we've had other students do that. We've got a boy who's dancing up in the Alberta Ballet, and we've got a young woman who's in New York City, and she's dancing. She does some workshops with Merce Cunningham and Martha Graham Companies. So there's some that have really taken performing arts and dancing to a really high level. But you know, then we've got a young man who's now working up at Los Alamos National Labs, and he went through our whole program, but he knew where he was going to college, was New Mexico Tech in Socorro, and he was studying computers and math because he knew where he wanted to go. And we're equally proud of that accomplishment, that he set goals and found a way to achieve them. I was just actually walking around the Roundhouse, just kind of sharing the news about our 20th anniversary and the impact that we've had around the state and the different communities that we're in. And while I was there, I ran into three former students, one working on the bottom floor, helping out with the Senate, and two students that are assistants to and supporting legislators in their work during the session. So it was joyful to see them, and they say, you know, they had good things to remember about NDI, and I was loved catching up and seeing that they're becoming positive forces in their world.
Now, what's your own dance background?
Well, I started dancing late in life, compared to what many people who become professional dancers do. I started in college, but I really I was a musician before that, and I always loved being in the band and being in the orchestra and practicing. And I think one of the things that I loved about the dance class when I started doing that was that there was a piano in the corner and a piano player, and that we were expressing that music and working with the musician. And I went to graduate school and got a master's degree in ballet teaching and choreography, which helped me land my big job was as a dancer in the Kansas City Ballet, where I performed for 10 years.
And one of the things that I've noticed about New Mexico when I travel east, for example, to visit friends and family, because I'm from the East Coast originally, and there's this kind of, I don't know if it was around when I was a young person, but there's this kind of like, you have to prepare your children to be competitive, to get into a good college when they're 4.
Right.
And 6 and 8. And then I come back to New Mexico, and maybe there's pockets of that here and there, but it's almost like the opposite. People can, you know, we're talking about whether or not third graders can read, much less where they're going to go to college.
Right.
And it sort of seems like it'd be nice if you could give the East Coast a little bit of our laid-backness and take a little bit of their competitiveness and have the best of both worlds. But what do you see when you look at kind of the culture of schools and school kids in New Mexico?
Well, I think that you bring up a really good point that we could overall have a philosophy or a way of looking at the importance of going to school and all of the things that a young person gets from going to school, and that progressing through school and the idea of even going beyond that is an important thing that takes time, that it doesn't just happen in 1 year, and you have to be thinking about it a lot longer. And I get the sense from the students that we've worked with, and over 10 years that's changed. We have got kids that are the first person in their family to go to college. So there's a lot of learning there. And in that first year when we were kind of encouraging students, our students were actually asking for support. They were saying, well, if I want to keep doing this, how do I keep doing it? And sort of one of the answers was, well, you could go to college and you could study dance or performing arts at the university level. And then they had said, well, then I've got to figure out how to get there. Some of the students that we were working with at the time, that they didn't really have an understanding that there was a value or a reason to take the SAT, and so they hadn't done that. So we had to kind of to back up and catch up, and then we've started working with students earlier to be thinking about, well, if you're in middle school or ninth grade even, and you're going away for the summer to do a dance program somewhere, you're learning something in an intense period of time, you bring it back, your work is stronger for the year, oftentimes you've maybe even heard the same things but heard them from a different teacher, and that can help you advance. And then you're starting to think about, well, if this summer I'm going here, where do I want to go next summer? And then you start thinking, you're looking down the road for yourself. I think that one of the things that the NDI program does for our youngest students that we work with, the third and fourth and the fifth graders, is make going to school fun. That we hear that kids like to go to school on the day that they know that they're going to have NDI class.
That's great.
Yeah. And, you know, from my point of view, that if kids like dancing, or they like being in the band, or they like being on the basketball team, soccer team, the other activities that are part of a full, you know, educational experience as a young person, and that helps them be motivated in the other things that they're doing there, important things like learning to read and learning about math and science, it's not a bad thing.
You know, sometimes I think when people talk about education and they talk about testing and all that kind of stuff, the most important and for me the most memorable thing about being a school child is getting so deeply engaged in whatever it is that the rest of the world falls away.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't even matter what that is. It doesn't matter whether it's geometry or dance or reading a particular story or whatever
right.
it is. But if you don't have that experience, there's nothing else is going on.
Right, I agree with you. I when I look back and I think about some either projects we did or little performances we put on, or even like you said, stories. It was, you get to choose the book that you're going to read, and then you're going to do something. It's a report or it's a project or something around that, and you get to really go deeply into thinking about and feeling and experiencing, learning about the author and learning about the work, and that is something that's going to, I think, come back when you grow up. You learn about this sort of, people need to be able to be creative, and they need to be able to understand things on a deep level, and they need to be able to problem solve, and those things, are the arts and all other activities, after school activities that support that.
So you've got a big event coming up this weekend. It's called Winter Dance Escape. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And among other things, you've got Peter and the Wolf.
Yes. Peter and the Wolf is a favorite, and it's the music is by Prokofiev. Our Dance Barns director, Allegra Lillard, has created the choreography, and we will have a live orchestra. And if you know the piece, it's each of the instruments represents one of the animals in the story. There's the duck and the bird and the cat. And
which instrument is which animal?
Let's see if I'll try to get it right. The oboe is the duck.
Right.
And the flute is the bird. And the clarinet is the cat.
Okay.
And then there's a group of hunters that come in. And there's obviously the wolf and Peter. And he goes out into the meadow, into the field, and ends up capturing the wolf. There are two narrators. We've got two students that are doing the narration of the story. So it's going to be really fun for audiences of all ages, and I encourage people to come out to see it.
Now, you have been honored by a national foundation called the Wallace Foundation, which is a nice feather in your cap this year.
It's really neat to get that recognition in our 20th year, and the report that they put out is called Something to Say, and it's about arts programs after school, and the report really focuses on teens and tweens, and what they did was kind of neat. It was like a market research analysis, and they went to across the country young people and also their families and said, you know, if you could design your own program, what would it have in it, and what do you look for, what do you want in a program? And we try to understand sort of this population as a unique population. Let's say I think we could go out on a limb and say teenagers are unique population in many ways. And they came up with a list of this is what kids look for and want. And then simultaneously,
what's on that list?
Well, one of the things that the kids wanted the most is they wanted real artists that really knew what they were doing to be their teachers. That they said, we want people that know, really can help us be better, and that they're not just making it up or trying to figure it out as they're going along.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, another thing that kids wanted, they wanted safe, inspiring places to be. They wanted to know that they were physically safe, but they also wanted to know that they were sort of in an emotionally safe place where they could try things and that they could experiment and explore, and that that would be not something that was looked down upon or ridiculed in some way. And then kind of a funny one, one of the things that kids really wanted was snacks, food, and lots of it, basically.
Yeah.
Which, you know, when you think about it, that's... that's where kids are growing up, and it's after school, and we're hungry, and
you're adding an inch a year in height.
Right, right. You're trying to keep up with all this. So in addition to talking to young people, what the Wallace Foundation did was they also talked to thought leaders and to practitioners and said, well, what do you think kids need, and what do you think makes a good program? And they talked to organizations that are being successful and said, what's in your secret sauce? You know, how do you make it work? And they came up with a list from that group. And then they compared those two lists to one another, and they found out they were exactly the same.
Snacks?
Well, snacks wasn't on that part of the list, but they came up with 10 principles, 10 sort of success principles of an after-school arts program working with this age group. And to underscore... that it's possible to do all 10 things, because they really recognized if you're not doing any of them to suddenly want to do all 10, that would be challenging. They had 8 case studies of organizations in the country, and they had done their research, and they looked around to find organizations that do this. And NDI New Mexico is one of those 8 organizations. They picked us in part because of what they saw was organizational excellence. They like that we're statewide, that we're really trying to reach not just kids in one community, but we're trying to have an impact in lots of communities. And they love that we use the arts to tie healthy messages, messages about healthy living that will you know, go just beyond the arts experience. And so it's pretty neat to get that recognition that when you look at New Mexico and kids in New Mexico and education in New Mexico, we tend to be at the bottom of the lists that we would rather not be at the bottom of.
Right.
And this is a list where they've said New Mexico is at the top of doing something for kids and for youth development. And if it's working, that it's something that, A, we can, I think, be proud of, but say, well, we could we do more? Could we expand this program? NDI New Mexico has 100 schools on our wait list. If we could reach some of those kids, we're bringing something that would work and be part of a solution for the challenges that we face.
But you've got to fund that.
Definitely. And that's, you know...
That's the challenge.
That's, you know, what's one of the challenges. I'd say, I think of two main challenges for us in expanding. One is having the resources, because as a nonprofit, you know, that's what we do. We raise money, and we do target schools that have the greatest need, and we have a model where we make this program accessible to schools and to students. So the inability to pay doesn't prevent them from being a part of it.
I mean, it's free, right?
It's predominantly free. The program that we do in elementary schools is free to students and to their families. Schools pay a small fee to bring us into the school, which is based on the percentage of free breakfast, free lunch at the school. The classes that we do at the dance barns are offered on a sliding scale, so students pay as little as $1 a class or up to $9. The second thing that we need in order to be able to expand programs is the best teachers we can get.
Yeah.
Because that's where the power of the program comes from. It's in that relationship between the teacher who's really motivating, who's really energetic, who really knows when we've got the step right, and that we're working at a high level that wants to go into, you know, the environments that we're in. We're going into rural environments, and we're going into gyms and cafeterias. That's where, you know, mostly the NDI class takes place. And so finding people that sort of, you know, really love children and really love this idea that we can create something special and great, that's our, you know, our other biggest need.
And so what you're talking about is getting professional or formerly professional dancers like you to move to New Mexico if we don't have homegrown people.
Exactly.
And want to live in this crazy state and be teachers, and that's probably its own challenge.
It can be. There are people like me, and there's others that that have found New Mexico and call New Mexico home and really love it. And certainly I think we all know that it's not necessarily the case for everybody. But when we find the right fit and we find the right person, and we can bring them here, or like you said, we can grow our own teachers. We have got a lot of teachers at NDI who went through the dance program at the University of New Mexico. We're proud to know that you can go to university here in our state and then get a job in your field, a full-time job, and we're just starting to get former students come back and say that they want to train in how to be an NDI teacher. Some of those kids that we talked about before, who they're performing, but they're dreaming about one day later moving back home. And I think that'll be a great thing.
Russell Baker is executive director of National Dance Institute New Mexico and the Winter Dance Escape, including a performance of Peter and the Wolf, is this weekend, Friday and Saturday at 7 o'clock, Sunday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon at the Dance Barns at NDI here in Santa Fe on Alto Street.
Exactly, and hope that lots of people will come out to see that performance. It's going to be a great one.
Well, congratulations on your first 20 years, and we look forward to progress reports each year here on the Radio Cafe.
Great. Thank you very much.